Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back at 12 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Ladies and gentlemen, what would you say if I told you that I could introduce you to the person who teaches Faith Hill, Randy Travis, Linda Ronstadt, and Huey Lewis how to speak and how to sing? What would you say if I told you I could introduce you to that person and she could help you with some stuff? I bet you'd be excited about that, wouldn't you? Well, start getting excited because that's who we have. We have Renee Grant Williams, who's been on the show before. She's our good friend. She's the author of Voice Power, Using Your Voice to Captivate, Persuade, and Command Attention. She's been helping professionals like you and me to do this for a long time. She's our good friend. Renee, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. And Jim, I don't think we've spoken since you got your Small Business Journalism Award last year. Congratulations.
Well, thank you for that. I appreciate that very much. And thank you. Thank you for that. Renee, let's talk about our voices. And one of the things that you want to talk about today might surprise people a little bit. You want to talk about things that affect us from an illness standpoint, don't you?
Well, when you think about it, cold and flu season is really bad for business.
Uh-huh.
I have some statistics from the American Lung Society that go back to 1996, but the loss of healthcare costs and loss of earnings due to the flu alone were $22.9 billion.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, this affects everyone, especially affected those of us who have small businesses when we have a limited number of employees.
We can't afford for anybody to miss any days for
exactly.
any reason, can we?
Exactly, and there are a few things you can do to prevent. We're all going to get colds and flu sometimes, but there are some things you can do to prevent getting them on a regular basis. You can minimize your exposure and maximize your resistance.
Obviously, we all run away from people who have the flu. We know how to do that, but how do we increase our resistance?
Okay. You need a lot of fluids and a lot of moisture. I recommend using a humidifier in the wintertime.
Really?
The tissues of your throat and the mucous membranes, they have to have sufficient moisture in order to stay resilient and flexible during flu and cold season. Get enough rest, as much as you can, wherever you can, whenever you can. It will also help to avoid drafts and rapid temperature changes. A good idea is to dress appropriately, layer your clothing so you can remove some of it,
mm-hmm.
or add layers as you go. Take a scarf to work with you. Some offices are kept pretty cold.
Have you noticed that, do you know what I do when I walk into a restaurant? I know this probably seems weird for a guy to do this, folks, but you know me. I actually am susceptible to drafts. I have a condition called I'm a hot natured person, but as many guys are, but Renee, I have a condition that the doctors call thermal allergy. I actually am allergic to cold drafts. My head, my sinuses are. And I didn't know there was such a condition. I mean, I actually a doctor diagnosed that in me one time, but one of the things I'd like to recommend as a practical matter that I think is something that especially those of us like me, not Renee, but me, who are a little longer in the tooth than others, is hats and caps. I think that in the wintertime, and I'll tell you something, Renee, if it weren't for the hats and the caps that I wear in the wintertime, I wouldn't be able to do my job. I'd have pneumonia on every other month.
Well, you know, we used to wear hats every day, and that has fallen so out of fashion. I wonder if that has anything to do with our increased susceptibility to colds and flu.
I don't think there's any question about it. I really do believe that, Renee, because we I mean, I have a number of things of hats that I wear. I like the, you know, the cap that like the English cap, the Scottish cap. What do you call it? The cloth cap that people wear. I always forget what they call those. I can't remember the name of them. But anyway,
like a beret kind
no,
of thing.
No, well, no, it's not like a beret. What's the name of it?
No.
I don't wear that.
I couldn't see you in that.
No. Well, I've forgotten what you...
But I was getting an amused picture.
I know you were. But anyway, I wear a couple of different kinds. I actually wear a fedora a couple of times, you know, a few times during the year, and maybe just a ball cap, just a baseball cap. But the thing is, I really think that if you go out into the cutting, biting wind, if you don't cover your head up, especially anybody over 40, in my opinion, I think you're making a mistake.
That's extremely good advice. I wish the habit of wearing hats would come back again.
Well, I'm not saying that I necessarily like to wear them. I wear them out of necessity. And if you're getting...
I've never heard of the thermal allergy, but it makes good sense to me.
Well, it's leave it to me to have something, you know, most people haven't heard of. That's pretty
Why
typical.
Why am I not surprised?
Yeah, you shouldn't be surprised about that at all. What are some other things that we can do? Is orange juice good for you were talking about fluids. Is orange juice good to drink?
Good for Florida.
especially if you're in Florida drinking it.
especially if you're in Florida drinking it. Vitamin C is certainly not going to hurt you. Its effect is limited unless you take it in such enormous quantities that you would be drinking gallons and gallons of orange juice, but it's certainly not going to hurt you.
And you'll almost never have scurvy if you drink plenty of vitamin C, right?
This is true. But limiting the exposure is very important.
Mm-hmm.
Think about the things we share in an office. Telephones, for example, you need to be very careful about using another person's telephone or letting them use theirs. It's actually a very intimate thing to do, to put your mouth right where another person's mouth has been speaking.
Right.
You know those antibacterial hand wipes that are on the market? It's a good idea during the height of flu and cold season to have those available in the office. And simply wipe the mouthpiece.
Mm-hmm.
Keyboard.
It's a little bit tacky, though, to walk up and ask somebody if you can borrow their phone and then hit it with an antiseptic before you use it. That's a little tacky, though, isn't it?
Not if it's office policy.
Oh, okay. All right. So what we have to do, folks, is I'll try to put something up on the website later. An office policy for how to clean it with telephone before you use it, and it becomes office policy. Stand by. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with our good friend Renee Grant Williams. I told you we'd have fun when Renee joined us. 20 after.
Stay away from me, American woman.
We're back. It's 23 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, 800-531-3815, toll-free coast-to-coast. Renee Grant Williams is our guest. Her book is called Voice Power. And, Renee, you got a website? And I know you want to
show us. I sure
do. Go ahead.
That website is clearing my throat. That website is myvoicecoach.com.
Without the clearing part there, folks, I don't know how you'd spell that, but myvoicecoach.com, right?
That's correct.
Can they find the book there?
They certainly can. They can find the book there and other products. I have CDs, cassettes, DVDs, something for everybody. Stocking stuffers.
All right. Check that out when you get a chance. MyVoiceCoach.com. Renee, what about another thing that I know you want to talk about today is how to protect our voice when we get excited about things like at football games and things like that. I have yelled at football games and have lost my voice in the younger days when I was, you know, when I guess maybe I wasn't as smart, hopefully, as I am now. I did that. That was a mistake, wasn't it?
Well, obviously, Jim, enthusiasm is normal, but yelling at sports events puts a severe friction and pressure on the vocal cords. And it's actually... You not only can actually tear up your vocal cords, you risk becoming hoarse, losing your voice, and you can even develop what are called nodes when you They're like calluses, Jim. Whenever you yell repeatedly, a node may form on your vocal cords, and that node forms because the vocal cords are trying to protect themselves against the friction. And if you think of it as a callus, if you keep creating friction, your body will respond with a callus-like formation, and then the vocal cords don't hold together. And that can be quite serious.
And, so sustained yelling like that, like if your team wins a lot and you go to all the games, you could do some permanent damage, couldn't you?
Exactly. So you really need to temper what you're doing. I have friends who yell so much that they can't talk for the first half of the week.
Yeah.
And depending on your job description, that can be a very serious problem.
I hope none of them are talk show hosts, because that would be bad.
Well, that would be a tragedy indeed.
You know, I've been fortunate since I've been doing this show. Now, next week will be my 6th anniversary of this show.
Wow.
And I only remember 2 days where I had a certain level of laryngitis. I didn't completely lose my voice, but I did lose some of it. But I did the show. I mean, it was. I apologize to the audience.
How did you do that?
I just did it, and I didn't completely lose it. I wasn't, you know, like breathless, but
right.
But I did have some resonance. But it was a couple of days there that it didn't hurt. It just sounded bad. But I did the show. But you know, if you make your living talking to people, either as a salesperson or a receptionist or a doctor or whatever,
or
you know,
a voice coach.
Yeah, or a voice coach, exactly. You gotta be careful about those things, and we take our voice for granted, don't we, Renee?
Oh, indeed. And you know, actually, I wanted to add one thing to Jim to what we were talking about before about how to limit your exposure. If an employee does get sick, don't insist they come to work. There's nothing worse than being so conscientious about turning up for work that you infect everybody else in the office. It doesn't do the bottom line any good if everybody gets sick.
And you know, today, Renee, with the technology that we have, so many people can take a laptop home with them and be productive. You know,
exactly.
I mean, if they're not just flat on their back, you know, sick as they can be, if they're actually just, you know, maybe not feeling too well and they're maybe a little contagious, then, you know, they can take a laptop home and do some
certainly
work.
Certainly be in touch for questions and information.
Right.
That's very good.
Exactly. Do you take flu shots?
Yes, I do, and I highly recommend them. I have not had the flu probably in a decade or more.
What do you recommend to people who've never had the flu?
Who've never had the flu?
Uh-huh.
Whatever you're doing, keep doing it some more.
Well, see, I've never had the flu, and I'm not.
You've
knocking
never
on,
had the flu.
I'm knocking on wood, but that was my head. I was.
You're courting disaster there, Jim. Today.
Well, I know, I'm tempting fate, but I have never had the flu, and I've never had a flu shot. And,
wow.
I don't intend to take a flu shot until the day comes and I actually get the flu. But I actually
you
almost
know, it's flu is, there's so many strains of flu, and the flu shot only is designed to protect against 2 or 3 strains of the flu. So every year about January, the manufacturers of flu vaccine have to try to guess which of the 200 to 300 mm-hmm. strains of influenza coming out of Asia are going to strike in the United States the following November. And I remember seeing a researcher at the CDC on television once talking and saying, quite frankly, some years they have a very good record and they get the main strain. Some years they get 1 or 2.
So it's kind of a crapshoot. Is that what you're saying?
Total crapshoot.
It sounds like it. Renee Grant Williams, ladies and gentlemen, the book is called Voice Power. Renee, thank you for being here. Good job today.
Thank you, Jim. And stay healthy.
Thank you. I intend to. You too. Quick break. I'll be right back with Charles W. Cadlick. This show is brought to you by IBM and Office Depot.
Hello.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.